the second hour now. We've got Greg Palast, folks, of the BBC, London Guardian, well-known journalist, big-time troublemaker. He likes to ruffle those feathers. Welcome to the show, Mr. Palast.
I'm ruffling even more because my new book came out, new edition, Our Madhouse, and Karl Rove's already given it a great review.
Oh, I'm sure he loved that. Yeah.
No, I'm not making that up. I mean, didn't call it great. The House Judiciary Committee subpoenaed Rove's emails, and on February 7th, his team, first they wrote several screaming about that British reporter, Greg Palast, which from the introduction you might expect me to have a British accent. I'm quite American,
yeah.
Mr. Rove. Let's get the facts straight. He may be
American,
They were gloating in a February 7th email about how no U.S. national press has picked up the investigations in my book, Our Madhouse. They actually included a PDF of it, of part of the book. And so what you're doing now is breaking the official omerta. You're not supposed to actually be letting people know what's in the book. We're going to do it anyway.
I love that title, Armed Madhouse.
Yeah, well, it's like I say. why do you love it?
No, it just says it all. You see that on the shelf, and you know what's in there.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. But then that's why they don't want you to have it. It's what I do for BBC is investigative reporting, which of course is illegal under the Patriot Act here. So I have to do it from across the water.
Are you with Al Qaeda?
Well, actually, did you know that's less of a joke than you think? Did you know that that the one of the reasons I expanded the book is that the Department of Homeland Security did charge me with violating the Patriot Act under the anti-terror statute?
That's right. I heard about that. Yeah.
That's right. It's in fact one of the new chapters in the book is called "Busted," about how I went down filming in New Orleans
and taking pictures. Yeah,
they did
yeah.
charge me. obviously, I'm not in a orange suit at the Republic Broadcasting Network wing at Guantanamo yet, but. I wasn't, and you'll like this, Charles, I wasn't actually arrested. That's a rumor. I was charged, but for 2 weeks they couldn't find me. Now, I'm on television. These are the guys who are supposed to protect us from Osama, right?
Get out of here. They couldn't find
Greg Palast. So, you know, look out, man. So what's on your mind?
I feel so safe with them on the watch, huh?
Yes. Well, actually, you know, I also was worried I couldn't get on an airplane. You know, I'd be on, you know, if I'm charged with under anti-terror statutes.
Oh, sure, they pulled that with a lot of people.
And I figure, oh my God, I'm going to be on the good old no-fly, and so I was worried about getting on an airplane. And then I was, in a way, more worried when I did get on the airplane. No problem. Think about that.
And were you able to bring those six books of matches with you aboard too?
So, but on the other hand. You know, after all, they do stop babies at the airport, 6 month olds who are on the no fly list, and then they when Prince Al-Turki, the guy who funded the Taliban, shows up from Saudi Arabia, the White House sends a limo to pick him up.
Yeah.
It whisks right through.
Unbelievable.
You know, oh well, we're safe.
Well, just you know, scratch your name. I'll put Bin Laden on there. You'll be all set.
Yeah, it's probably the safest place to be is hanging out with him at the Ritz-Carlton in Paris.
Hey, did you have anything to do with the production of Power of Nightmares?
That was, I wish I could claim credit. That was my colleagues.
That's
they did such a bang-up job on that. I'm still stunned by that. Good work, you know.
I mean, you got to wonder if there even is an Al-Qaeda, you know?
Well,
I mean,
it's kind of a... You know, I mean, that's one of the issues, is that there's kind of this, like, you know, they say Al-Qaeda-like groups. That's what's like Italian-style something, you know, Italian-style
right.
takeout.
Tell you what, we'll pick up with that after the break. Stick with us, folks. Come back with us with Greg Palast.
K. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Okay, guys, we're back. Just want to remind you guys, a friend of mine on Pal Talk, paltalk.com, you can download the software free and join us. We're pretty much there every day with our 9/11 was an inside job room. And a friend of mine has a great website. It's CCC-media.110mb.com. If you go there, you can get some excellent free downloads of all kinds of videos about the New World Order, about 9/11, Kennedy assassination, you name it. Again, that's CCC-media.110mb.com. So, Greg. You know, not only is there problems with the story of this globally coordinated network, Al-Qaeda, but, of course, bin Laden himself. I mean, who is he? Where is he? Is he still alive? Are they even looking for him?
Yeah.
If he is alive, would they even care to catch him?
Well, I mean, listen, the last thing they want to do, as you know, Bill Clinton was offered bin Laden. When the government of Sudan, which he was funding, had a split with him,
right.
They said, well, where should we mail him?
No interest.
And Clinton said, he realized, well, the last thing we want to do is get this guy in trial where he starts opening up his files when he says, you know, do I get Social Security if for all the years I've worked for the Bush family? Right? You know, it's like, why not? You know, it's like the last thing they want is that guy to show up. And one of the things I have in the book, in fact, in this section called Who's Afraid of Osama Wolf in Our Madhouse is what we had at BBC discovered the from the FBI and from somewhat unhappy agents and some CIA agents who turned over the 199I document, national security
right.
secret document, which with their explanation showed that you know the Bush family was not the Bush administration not exactly rushing to investigate the Bin Laden family in America. They had spiked that investigation of what the FBI had already tagged as a, quote, suspected terrorist organization. They just weren't allowed to ask them any questions. You know, it's like, so it's like Yogi Berra would say, it's amazing what you can't see when you're not looking. There you go.
You know, I remember just after the attacks, you had Ashcroft threatening Congress, you better pass the Patriot Act, or we're not going to have the powers we need to fight terrorism, and you'll be responsible if we have another attack because there's Al-Qaeda sleeper cells all over the U.S. Less than a year later, the FBI comes out and says, we haven't found any evidence of any Al-Qaeda sleeper cells anywhere
the
U.S.
I got to tell you, I've talked to a lot of agents. I mean, what's become very strange for me growing up in the and as a baby of the 60s, where you know the CIA was like the evil empire, but now I've actually begun to have a little bit of respect for some of these guys because they actually want to go after some of the bad guys. It's like these little secret ops that they have inside the White House and the Pentagon basement, which
yeah,
has nothing
they're
to do with career,
from the top. They
with
can't
career
do their
intelligence
job.
Officers who really would like to get the bad guys. And not one FBI agent, not one CIA or DIA agent ever said to me or anyone at BBC, we really could have caught these guys if we didn't have the Bill of Rights in our way, if we only had the Patriot Act. They all said the same thing. We might have, you know, we can't say what we could have done, but at least we could have stood a chance if the Bush administration simply got its foot off our neck and let us investigate the leads we had under the laws we have. And it's not legal to blow up buildings. They had the authority to do what they had to do. Except that they were
innocent.
Told, you may not follow the money. I mean, we have in the book, I mentioned the meeting in 1995 at the Hotel Monceau Royal in Paris. Al-Qaeda and Saudi billionaires. And the Saudis were turning over their bags of gold to Al-Qaeda. It was partly a shakedown operation, shakedown the shakes. And the idea was, you know, don't blow up our yachts in the Mediterranean and go play. Here's some money. And the problem of when you give terrorists money is that some of them take flying lessons with no intention of landing. But once again, our intelligence agents, the French intelligence agents, said we should follow this down, and the U.S. said no. Well, if you can't follow their money, you can't follow what they're up to. It's that simple. You know,
yeah, I know some of the 9/11 family members, victim family members, were launching a multi-billion-dollar suit against Saudi royal family members, and you know the White House was blocking it. And it turns out that they had threatened to withdraw billions of dollars of investments in American businesses if the White House didn't stop these lawsuits.
Well, in fact, there's a whole chapter in the book called The Network, which explains how this whole petrodollar game goes. We don't worry about them not the Saudis and Emirates not sending us oil. They can, you know, it's only so much oil that Abdullah can pour in his belly. The problem is that they are the landlords. We send $250 billion a year to the Gulf states for oil. They send back $0.33 trillion. That is more than we send them. They send in because they suck up money from Japan and China and send it to – they basically buy up U.S. Treasury bonds and U.S. businesses, and that's how we fund George's massive deficit. He's raised the deficit by $2 trillion. 100% of it, 100%, has been lent to us. He's borrowed every dime of it, and that's the game. They lend us the petrodollars. We lend them the 101st Airborne as their mercenary protection force. And one of the things that's going on here is that, by the way, it also is not a bit destructive to our industry. Look at what's happened to manufacturing because for a bunch of guys under the Quranic prohibition against charging interest, the Saudis are very good at getting their pound of flesh. And they also now own 10% of Citibank to complete the operation. So what's happening is that basically you're being taxed. For Bush's game about no new taxes, what do you think you're doing at the oil pump?
Oh, sure.
So instead of taxing us for the deficit, what we are charged an extra buck and a half a gallon It runs through the gullet of the oil companies, then goes through the colon of the Arabian dynasties, then comes back to us after they've taken their big slices, which we borrow back at a high price. And that's how we fund the deficit. Instead of funding it directly, it's done at the gas pump. And, of course, you know, we pay not only the vigorish, the interest, but we, you know, pay with our blood.
Yeah, and they're talking going up, what, $3.50, $4 by this summer.
And Bush needs that. He needs those high oil prices so that he can get them, so the money can flow back out. Remember that the film The Network, which is why I call it that. You know, Mr. Beal, if you remember the film Network, when the magnate says to the journalist who wanted to scream about this, he says, look, the Arabs have taken billions of dollars from us, Mr. Beal, and now we must get it back. And that's what it's about.
Yeah. It's just so scandalous. It's unbelievable. And now, of course, there's the push to go into Iran. Where do you see that going?
I'm not too worried about going into Iran. In fact, suspicions about the game with Iran. What I look at is the Punch and Judy show. You have Mad Mahmoud, who's getting very, very unpopular in Iran because of the economy. You have George, who is getting more and more unpopular. And the two of them run a Punch and Judy shows to try to build up their popularity to create, you know, new bogeymen, you know, a new evil enemy on the other side. And I almost imagine them calling each other and say, oh, it's your turn, Mahmoud. Go grab some British soldiers. Here's their coordinates. It's like, you know, you can imagine the game. And,
yeah.
And one of the reasons I feel confident that we're not invading Iran, we'll keep the pot boiling, we'll keep everything at high tension, because they love it and George loves it, is that the Royal Dutch Shell is building a $2 billion refinery there. And the Royal Air Force does not bomb its parent company, Royal Dutch Shell.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not how it works. And so I think that they keep the pot boiling, and it keeps the price of oil up, too. You know, mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's true. So you see this is just a big distraction. It's not
huge. I mean, what they got to do is they got to assassinate Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. That's their big problem.
Oh, yeah. Bush beefed up CIA efforts down there a few months back. He was talking.
I was talking with Chavez. I get together with him quite often. And, in fact, I have a chapter in our madhouse called The Assassination of Hugo Chavez because we've kind of joked about the bullet he's got coming, though he says I'm a very good chess player. We'll see. And there it's all about, look, again, it's the oil, but it's the oil dollars. What you had is, according to the U.S. Department of Energy, the documents I have and which I have in the book, Venezuela has bigger oil reserves than Saudi Arabia.
No kidding.
Yeah, lots bigger.
Also,
and Chavez wants to sell it. Look, you know, Chavez can't drink the stuff. The U.S. is his biggest market. For all the games of, you know, he'll sell it to China and all that, that's a month of shipping away. It's 4 days to the Gulf Coast of the U.S. to ship his oil. That's his market.
Why is he getting out there more to pose a more of a competitive edged with them? Is he just
what he's saying is I'll sell you the oil, but I'm not giving you back the money. See, for years Venezuela was dirt poor because whenever they had an oil spike, in fact in the 80s they were making twice as much as they're making today, Venezuela, from the oil. The money went right out, you know, siphoned out to Miami and the condos and the Swiss bank accounts, and again, just like the Saudis, hunks of it going back to fund U.S. deficits. So what Chavez did is he pulled in and he removed $20 billion that Venezuela had in the U.S. Federal Reserve, and he lent it to Argentina and Brazil and Uruguay, and to pull those nations out of financial spin.
Right.
And
the IMF and the World Bank.
By the way, yeah, and told the IMF to go stake it. And they did. I mean, they just told the IMF, kiss it.
See, all that work of sabotaging those economies hasn't paid off too well then, has it?
Well, they did pretty good. They had, like, doctors and teachers hunting for food out of garbage cans in Argentina and under the IMF Miracle Program. And then Uncle Hugo came along and said, tell those guys to scram. Here's a check. But then he ended up making money off that, too, because when the economy started booming in Argentina, he sold his bonds for a profit.
See, guys, that's why they want him out. supporter of Al-Qaeda, my foot. Stick with us. We'll be right back, Greg, after the break.
Sure.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
All right, folks, we're back here at Two Thirds Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. Got a few more minutes with Greg Palast. You're just here for the half hour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the last few minutes, I just wanted to ask you, Pat Robertson, someone I know you also have a great fondness for. He's really got it in for Mr. Chavez. Is it because of investments he's got down there that he sees him threatening?
Oh, what a bad attitude you have. Of course, it's true. Yes. Yeah, he has investments in the Congo and in Venezuela. As he says, Pat Robertson said to me, I'm not a televangelist. I'm a businessman. And that's exactly right.
He did say that.
This is all business, yeah.
Unbelievable.
And so, you know, he's trying to get on the he works very closely with the elements in the White House. And so when he gave a speech that it's time to assassinate Hugo Chavez, and it's a lot cheaper, he says, than another $200 billion war for Venezuela's oil.
Now, was he speaking as a minister then, or as a businessman?
Well, I think you know, to him, is there a difference?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, no, everything for him is really business.
And, oh yeah.
And that's exactly right. Tim, getting rid of Chavez is a business transaction, and you know, so when he called for the assassination of Chavez, that was a balloon. That obviously he doesn't do anything without checking with the White House. I know they can always say, oh, well, he's just being a nut. They keep a little distance. But that was a balloon to see how the public would feel about a hit on an elected leader. They're just jealous because Chavez actually was elected president.
Without Diebold's help.
Yeah, I know. In fact, actually, because Chavez had read my book, it's one of the reasons he bought the big vote company, the big voting machine company here, Symantec. His friends. And he thought, well, if they're going to go to computers, then we can show them, because Venezuela actually uses computer systems which print the ballot, so that if there's ever any question, you can, or is it, you vote on a computer, but then it prints your ballot, you can look at it, and you put that in also a, in a ballot box. So there's actually a double audit vote. In other words, you can have it on the computer, and you got it in paper.
Right.
You can always crack the box. So he said, he figured if Americans actually had a fair election system, he wouldn't have to deal with a guy like George. So he figures it's worth spending a few of the oil shekels to try to fix the American voting system.
Right.
So, it's not a bad investment. He figures it's got to pay off for everyone.
You got to admire this guy. I bet he must be really nice to talk to in person. Huh?
He's a riot. I mean, he and I have kind of the same sense of humor. And he calls me Dick Tracy because I wear a fedora. But, they need on the other hand, look, Ed, he is a businessman, too. That is in the sense of he looks very carefully out for the interests of his country. I mean, he's not a Fidel Castro who really is a dictator. I'm sorry for some people think whether you think we're treating Castro right or not doesn't matter at Cuba. But, Chavez is extremely popular and in a way that Castro is not. Castro
right.
only holds on to power through coercion. Chavez he's a very popular talk show host. That's the key to his success, and the fact that people are like eating, which is new for Venezuela.
Right.
There used to be cardboard houses, a million people in cardboard houses around Caracas. Now it's brick houses. And they had oil money before, more oil money than they have now, but just has now cycled back, and
that's with charging 12 cents a gallon down there. It's cheaper than water.
And here's the thing, man. They don't want people in America. See, we talk about oil states like Venezuela or Saudi Arabia. America's an oil state. We produce a tremendous amount of oil. The five big oil companies earned $120 billion last year in a single year. That's more than every automaker has earned since the Model T, all put together, and in 1 year. So why don't we get a slice of it? We are the only nation on the planet which doesn't have a way of capturing what our war profits. This is war profiteering. The price of oil is up because the pipelines have been blown up in Iraq. Okay, we have a shortened supply of oil because of a oil war.
Right.
And we've gone from $20 a barrel to $64 a barrel, not because these guys are geniuses, but because the pipelines are blowing up. And they have a
and they want it that way. I mean, they're laughing
all the way
to the bank.
Why aren't we some of that back? If the war is profitable for the oil companies, then why not a war tax?
Right.
On the war profiteering.
Even more so than seizing Iraq's oil, I think they just wanted Saddam out of the picture so he couldn't compete with them. He was switching over to the euro.
Well, what you have to remember is that what the documents I found for the conspiracy nuts who listen to you and think that Bush had a secret plan for the oil fields of Iraq even before the tanks rolled. It's not true. He had two plans, and I got both in our madhouse, which I got for BBC. But the interesting thing is we didn't go in to get the oil. We went in to make sure we didn't get the oil. That was the most interesting finding I got out of those documents, written by James Baker and his crew.
Really?
Which is to control, to keep the world supply tight. They were afraid that Saddam, because Iraq has huge reserves.
Oh, yeah.
And they could produce 4 or 6 million barrels a day. And they were producing, they were limited to 2 million. Saddam wanted to sell us more oil. Let's not forget that. He wanted to sell us more. We were the ones restricting him with oil for food. Very little food for them, very little oil for us. And the oil companies like that, 2 million barrels a day.
Keep it scarce and keep the price
up. Keep it scarce.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So right now the whole program is keep it scarce. And that's the new oil law of Iraq, which was written by James Baker in the Houston crowd. I kid you not. I've got the information in the book.
Yep, no, that makes
sense.
And,
keep it scarce, keep it high. You got to figure it out, Charles, man.
I want to thank you for coming on. You got a website quick? Or?
Yeah, gregpalast.com, GREGPALAST.com, gregpalast.com.
There you go, folks. Go check it out. Thanks again for coming on, my friend, and I'll have you on again sometime.
See you in the R Madhouse. Bye.
All right, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Alright, folks, back on Truth Hurts. Got about another half hour left, so I'm going to try to catch up on some news here. I've been falling way behind. I wish we had more time with Greg Palast, too, although that wasn't due to my scheduling. That was due to his scheduling. He's got a pretty tight itinerary going there. I was lucky to get the half hour that I got, but have to have him on again sometime. Very interesting perspective that he provided with the oil situation in Iraq. I had been saying that, you know, they wanted to get Saddam out of business so that, you know, they would get rid of a major competitor in the price-setting market. You know, they could charge whatever they want. But he's arguing that, no, they did it so that he couldn't sell that oil so that they could drive the price up. So, I mean, the result is the same, you know, that the you get higher oil prices. But interesting perspective the way he was coming at it, just simply that they could dry up that supply. And that makes sense. That's what they want to do. They want to make it look like it's very scarce. It's not that scarce. We don't even have to rely on foreign supply. We've got tons of oil up in Alaska that could probably supply this country for a couple hundred years, independent of reliance on foreign supply. They don't want that, though. You flood the oil with the market with all that oil, it's going to drive the price down. They want to keep it artificially high. And they don't want other nations to, like Greg Palast said, you know, they, to release their oil en masse, it would drive the price down. And that's the reason why they hate Chavez. They want to take him out. He's not only because of his oil, of course, but because of the fact that he's not playing ball. You know, his people are prospering down there. They want to be able to go down there and exploit people and drive them into poverty and keep them enslaved to the IMF and the World Bank. And he's just not going along with that program. He's got to go. So they're claiming he's supporting Al-Qaeda. I mean, come on, folks. It's been going on for decades. They did it during the Cold War, you know, claiming that various countries in South America and Africa or East Asia were in league with the Soviet Union, which was complete hogwash. Soviet Union had all they could do to keep their own matters running at home. You know, it was the U.S. that was expanding its empire all during the Cold War, not the Soviet Union. You know, I'm not defending the Soviet Union as a great example to follow in the world either, but, you know, they were just exploiting that far beyond the reality that it was. Just to sucker people to fight their scam wars, none of which were legal, of course, all during the Cold War, 60-plus military conflicts we engaged in, and none of them had the constitutionally required Congressional Declaration of War. They were all illegal, and we were lied about every single one of those incursions, whether it was Vietnam or Korea or Nicaragua or Panama, you name it. Every single one of them, they used the perfect Trump's card excuse, containing the Soviet expanding empire, when it was just about stealing resources, setting up bases, conquering nations, putting puppet regimes in office. It's just so disgusting. And now here they are doing the same thing under the guise of fighting so-called Al-Qaeda. You know, go get that three-part series. It's all over the Internet. The Power of Nightmares. You can download it free on multitudes of sites or just watch it online. And you'll see, folks, there's no evidence of a globally coordinated network called Al-Qaeda. It's just a figment of Washington's imagination, or maybe I should say Wall Street's imagination. You know, they have a few little minions in the Arab world that work for them that give the illusion that this is a real threat, but it's nothing but an intelligence agency creation. It's operated, really, by the CIA, the Mossad, and MI6. And, you know, you have any doubt of that, just look at all these fake arrests, busting up these phony terror plots. And I mean, it's just so laughable. It's ridiculous. Fake Bin Laden videos, fake Zarqawi videos. I mean, come on. Snap out of it. How can people fall for this? It's just, I just look at this. And you know, Zarqawi, every time they come out with a new tape of him, he had big fat eyebrows one day, and the next day thin eyebrows. Fat ears sticking away from his head one day. The next video, he's got thin ears tucked up against the side of his head. I mean, don't people see this? Bin Laden videos, you know? The original Bin Laden had a long, slender nose. Now he's got a fat, stubby nose. He was left-handed, according to the FBI's website, but now he gestures and signs documents with his right hand in these new videos. it's Twilight Zone. There isn't any truth to anything this administration does or says. Lie after lie after endless lie. And again, Greg Palast's book, folks, Armed Madhouse, is a great source of information. I actually haven't even read it yet. I was reading the reviews of it and going through the table of contents. It's a book I want to be getting here soon. But, you know, I've read his other works of his, like The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Excellent source of information. This guy really digs deep and gets to the dirt. So I highly recommend any of his works. Anyway, let me go through some of the plow through some of the news, because I don't think I'm going to have much time next week to do that. Got a lot of catching up to do here. Again, I mentioned the View next week. Rosie O'Donnell is going to have on May 24th, which will be Thursday. She's going to have the makers of the Loose Change 9/11 documentary exposing 9/11 as an inside job. She's also going to have William Rodriguez, one of the last people pulled out of the WTC debris alive. So this is going to be, I'm telling you, something you don't want to miss, whether you like Rosie O'Donnell or not. This is something you want to see. This, you know, you've got to applaud her for doing this. Nobody but nobody else on television is willing to even address this, let alone have guests on that have serious questions, concerns about the official story. I'm definitely going to be checking this out myself. So mark that down on your calendars, folks. You don't want to miss it. Next Thursday on The View, William Rodriguez, somebody I'm going to be having on the show here pretty soon, by the way. William Rodriguez, a guy who, was basically mask-taped by the 9/11 Commission and others, too. I mean, we'll look at Sybil Edmonds. She testified for several hours before the 9/11 Commission, and the entire thing has been put under lock and key. It's unbelievable. No one is allowed to know what she said. They had Louis Cascioli, Edmonds' testimony was classified. Cascioli's was just completely omitted. They just struck it from the record. He said he was so disgusted. What little testimony he did give, he finally just up and left. He walked away because they kept interrupting him. They weren't letting him, tell the whole story. He wanted to mention how the buildings were pulverized to dust, how strange it looked, and it just didn't look like a collapse, what you would expect from a collapse. There was nothing there recognizable, he said, but half of a phone keypad. Everything else turned to dust. So he was trying to get this across to them. They didn't want to hear it. It's like the Warren Commission. They didn't want to hear about the fires, the shots being fired behind the fence there with the grassy knoll. They didn't want to hear about the smokestack. People even got pictures of the smokestack from the rifle. No, they didn't want to hear about that. Just struck it from the record. Business as usual. So anyway, my hat's off to Rosie O'Donnell. Looking forward to seeing this. Keep in mind, once again, this woman has a viewing audience of about 30 million people. That's one-tenth of the country's population, folks. This is going to get a lot more attention. You're going to see those statistics rise exponentially after this. People that don't believe the official 9/11 story, which is over 80%, by the way. These phony polls, they're telling you 30-something percent. People who believe it was an inside job, I can tell you, it's a lot higher than that. They lie about everything else. They're lying about that. The 80% I'm quoting is people who are skeptical about the story. It doesn't mean that they all believe it was an inside job. Probably maybe 20-30% of those people believe that the government sat back and let it happen. The ones who believe it was an inside job is probably closer to 50%. But in any case, it doesn't matter. The whopping majority of Americans, 80-plus percent, do not believe the official story. To me, it doesn't really matter if they think the government did it or if they think the government sat back and let it happen. It doesn't matter. As long as they recognize the official story is a lie, if you can get them to that point where they can finally admit and face the truth that our government lies to us, yes, especially this particular unelected fascist treasury-robbing administration, sending our kids over to die in their phony wars. I mean, the crimes. I mean, come on, look at all the indictments. You think those indictments are for a reason, folks, because these people are crooks. Quite frankly, there aren't enough indictments coming down the pike, if you ask me. Every single member of this administration, past and present, has been engaged in just monstrous criminality, against crimes against humanity, not just in this country, but abroad. They're international criminals, and the fact that they're still walking the streets, let alone still in power, just astonishes me. This is jaw-dropping. Sickening. Again, say what you want about Nixon. We fared much better under his watch. The guy had some sense of decency and scruples. I mean, when caught, he stepped down. These guys get caught, and they just beef up the propaganda machine to make themselves look good. People start noticing that, hey, that's a lump of horse droppings. Oh, we'll just get out the industrial strength Lysol and spray ourselves down. Get out the spray paint, put that nice, pretty pink hue. Look at it for what it is, folks. It's a lump of horse droppings. Anyway, moving on with some more news items here. Washington Post reported yesterday an article called "Immunity Sought for Cheney," say top officials. Cheney wants immunity. There we go. Aren't these guys something? Case in point. Look at that right there. Unbelievable. Guys, it's time for a major change here, and it better come and fast. because we're in a lot of trouble. These scoundrels got another, what, year and a half to go? You know how much damage can be done in a year and a half? I mean, look what they've done already. We're right at the edge of the precipice, and these guys are geared up to push us off. It won't take much at this point. I mean, our economy is on the brink of complete collapse. The housing market is a disaster right now. Our national debt is the highest it's ever been in history. In fact, more debt is accrued right now in this country under this scoundrel's watch than all previous presidents combined. He beat Daddy's record. During the Reagan years, Daddy had created an enormous amount of debt, but now the Junior has outdone Dad. Dad must be very proud. You know, the highest deficits, more job hemorrhaging under this president than anything before. I mean, look at this. Look at his track record. It's scary that there are still people in this country that are supporting him. And I'm not talking about the obvious diehard neocons who don't give a hoot how many people die and how much the economy gets destroyed as long as their pockets are filled. They don't care. They know he's a scoundrel, but they're scoundrels too. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about ignoramuses who otherwise would have a conscience but don't realize what's going on. They're blindly supporting them. How can they be oblivious at this point? It's amazing. Oh, I don't know. What's it going to take for people in this country to wake up? Then we've got the Raw story reporting yesterday. White House opposes military pay raise. Oh, thank you, guys. We're real supportive of you. But no pay raise, sorry. All that extra money we're going to send over to Halliburton. Never mind pay raise. They're cutting back on their benefits. They're over there breathing depleted uranium. And yet you're not supportive of the troops if you want to call them home and get them out of this rat's nest, this meat grinder. You're not supportive of them unless you want them to continue to stay over there and get used and abused and blown away. And I don't know, man. George Orwell really is rolling in his grave. CBS yesterday had an article, "Are FEMA trailers making residents sick?" Katrina victims staying in their in the FEMA-run trailer parks. It emerged yesterday that a lot of these people are getting sick, especially babies, especially susceptible to this. Apparently, there's formaldehyde chemicals in the walls of these trailers. Now, as to whether or not that's done deliberately, I'll leave that up to you to decide. But one thing's for sure. FEMA's not too upset about this. They tried to kill these people off in the first place. In the wake of the disaster there, they were, as you know, I hope you know, we're going to be doing a whole show on this coming up. For 8 days, folks, they would not allow, so much for emergency management, emergency mismanagement. For 8 days, they weren't allowing anyone to get out of the city, to get water, medicine, food, and they weren't letting help get in. Remember, 50 countries offered supplies. They were ready to send them down there immediately, within hours after the storm had passed. FEMA said no. FEMA got caught cutting communication cables down there. Hundreds of trucks were sent from all over the country with supplies, food, water, medicine, you name it, clothing. And they were held at bay, lined up for miles outside the city. They would not let them in. Not only that, people were trying to cross the bridge to get out of the city, to get to these trucks, to get aid, to get help, and there was a checkpoint. In fact, Fox covered this. They gave probably some of the best coverage of any of the other networks. I was amazed. Every once in a while, Fox will blow my mind and actually give some decent coverage, like they did with the Israeli spy ring story after few months after 9/11, there, Kyle Cameron did that. They had Shepard there, Shepard Smith. He was standing at the end of the bridge there, and he said, "Folks, I'm not kidding." He says, "If you try to cross this bridge right now to get out of this city, there is a checkpoint at the end of this bridge, and federal officials are standing there, and they will turn you back. They will tell you you can." He says, "This is the only way out of the city for these people. On the other side of this bridge, there's water, there's food, there's medicine. You try to cross that bridge right now, they will not let you pass." So this is what was going on for 8 days. How many people do you think died during those 8 days? Never mind from the storm. this criminal mismanagement policy of FEMA. Keep in mind, Bush personally appointed FEMA to hand up this post-storm crisis. And then 5 days into this eight-day vigil of starving people to death and dehydrating them to death, Bush praised Brownie for doing a heck of a job. I mean, is it not obvious what was going on here? Bush passes an executive order shortly after that, stating that Halliburton, which he gave the unbidded contracts to once again, did not have to pay prevailing wages to the laborers down there. And then he forbade anyone from going in with cameras. They couldn't film what was going on. Of course not. Didn't want them to see, didn't want anybody to see how many people had died down there from starvation and dehydration. Then he sends troops in, a bunch of armed thugs, with zero tolerance shoot-to-kill orders. Anybody does anything, just looks at you funny. You have license to kill. Just blow them away. All the more people. That's fine. Add more to the list. Maximize the death toll. So that Halliburton come in and grab up all that land. Big land grab. That's all that was about. Unbelievable, folks. Anybody want to challenge me on that? You think I'm exaggerating? Call me in. We can discuss it after the break. Be right back, folks.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
8822. I don't have time to do the news. Oh, I love having guests, but man, it's crazy. I tell you, these 2 hours really do flying. Okay, the GAO informs us that Homeland Security is breaking privacy laws. Well, thanks for telling us that, GAO. But I hate to tell you, we've known about this for a very long time. They've been doing it from day one, ever since Bush created that Gestapo regime back in late 2002. I mean, that's what their whole intended function was, Homeland Security, making sure the criminals are secure here at home from pesky little peasant citizens who want to expose their crimes. They should be free to engage in monstrous criminal activities without these pesky peasants poking into their private affairs. You'll be silent! Then we got Washington Post Wednesday said that this was really interesting. This is actually a pretty major story. Scientists cast doubt on Kennedy bullet analysis. Some FBI officials had been looking at the evidence and they're saying, yeah, there's something wrong here. This you know, magic bullet thing, the bullet evidence that was presented, it's seriously flawed. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? You could argue that, yeah, this is great news. You know, it's showing, again, that the government's official story about Kennedy's death, like the government's official story about a whole lot of other things, is a big lie. But at the same time, you got to wonder, you know, is this trying to distract attention off of the E. Howard Hunt revelations, you know? Okay, all right, we'll act like we're really hot on the trail here, but we won't talk about government complicity. We'll just say that, oh, look at that, the government made a mistake about the claims about the bullet investigations and, you know, to make it look like they're really hot on something. But they're not going to tell you that there's evidence of government complicity. They're just going to say, yeah, we made some mistakes. So, you know, they can say, what are you talking about? We don't admit that, you know, the government has made errors and that there is maybe perhaps reason to be suspicious about the Kennedy assassination. Yes, in light of this bullet evidence, I guess there is reason to question the story. But no talk of government complicity, just that the government may have been wrong and made some mistakes. Whereas if you pay attention to the E. Howard Hunt tape and a whole lot of other things that have come out over the years, you know full well that whole thing has government fingerprints all over it. So, you know, while it's an interesting story that came out, at the same time, it's probably just more propaganda to fool people, make it look like, you know, our media is hot on the trail and they're getting to the bottom of the story. Yeah, whatever. Yahoo News on Wednesday. I love this one. Wolfowitz refuses to quit bank, wants name cleared. Yeah, you're such a bastion of honesty and truthfulness and trustworthiness there, Mr. Wolfowitz. Your name should be cleared. I'll tell you what, we'll clear your name with the World Bank fiasco, okay? But not with lying us into Iraq and your phony WMD thing, which he did admit later, by the way. Here's one of the bizarre ironies that we have with this administration. Wolfie Boy actually told Vanity Fair in May of 2003, just 2 months after the phony Iraq war broke out, he actually admitted that the reason given of weapons of mass destruction for the war, he said it's something we concocted for bureaucratic reasons, had more to do with U.S. bureaucracy than anything else. It was something we all agreed the public would be able to accept as a legitimate excuse for the war. He actually admitted that. Unbelievable. And yet there's still people out there thinking, oh, they're going to find their weapons of mass destruction. They're out there somewhere. Unreal. Anyway, guys, I guess we reached the end of another show. Hopefully I can squeeze some more news in next week, but we got some great guests lined up, so we'll catch you then. Have a great weekend, folks. Take care.